Ramsey TV.
So on Friday, during the day, I was thinking about Saturday, which was, as I speak to you, yesterday was Saturday. This is Sunday night. Are you with me so far? Is this show confusing at this point? Well, don't be confused. Hang in there. On Friday, I was thinking, you know, there's two things I can do on Saturday. I can either, you know, get my classic video out in the morning and then just have a relaxing day, maybe sit on the couch, watch YouTube videos, which is what I do to relax. Either that or I'll run 40 miles up to Lake Worth, Florida. Yeah, because not that I'm interested in Lake Worth, Florida, which is in between Delray and West Palm Beach. It's not that. It's just I wanted to run 40 miles. It's been a long time since I've done a distance like that. And I'm still entertaining this idea of running across Florida. So I didn't tell you this. I did a 32-miler last month. So I'm thinking, let's shoot for a 40-miler. Either that or I relax at home. And I think that's a big difference between those two things. Between doing basically nothing and then engaging, throwing myself into the maw of a trial of that proportion and nature. So I decided, well, of course I'm going to run 40 miles. It ended up being 43.3 miles. Did that yesterday. I'm going to tell you about it only because, well, two reasons. I love to talk about myself, but I don't do it indiscriminately. I don't do it gratuitously. I do it if there's a purpose. And there, I have got two lessons from this run that I'm going to lay on you. One today and one on Tuesday. The one on Tuesday is based on something that happened the morning I left, which was, from my perspective, yesterday morning, Saturday morning. And it was, you're really going to laugh. It was unbelievable what happened on Saturday morning at 4:30 a.m. when I left for this trip. By the way, that's me geared up for war right there. I'm getting ready to leave at 4:20 a.m. on Saturday. Again, it was supposed to be 40 miles. I miscalculated. Sorry, it ended up being 43.3. So many different things happened. It was 14 hours. In fact, there's the readout from my app. I have this app called, it's a really good app. It's Under Armour sponsors it. It's called Map My Walk. Mine was a run, but it works for walks too. So check that out. Yeah, that the average speed is including breaks and everything else. You know, I do run. I don't run fast, but I do run. So that was yesterday from my perspective here. From your perspective, Monday, it would be 2 days ago. Before this, I wanted to give a talk on rest because rest has no context unless you're engaged in a great bout and a great feat of work. I will always remember that Marsha's grandparents would come to Florida every winter because they were retired. And Marsha's grandmother, they were over in Bradenton on the west coast of Florida, and her grandmother would call, and she'd be saying what her and Roy were doing, and she'd say, well, it's time for a coffee break. And my wife would report this to me, and I said, coffee break from what? You have, in order to have a break, you have to be doing something. But of course, they were retired, and they didn't do anything all day. So that was my perspective at the time. Maybe they were in the shuffleboard league. I don't know. It's hard to say. I don't mean to be too critical, but to me, you have to be doing something for a break to mean anything. It's the contrast principle. Now, according to the King James versions and other versions, God created the earth and the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and then he rested. Well, that's obscene. God doesn't need to rest. The word Sabbath does not mean rest. It means stop. He stopped. Do you remember when I was telling you about my son and me, teaching my son to bang his head against the wall? Because it feels so good when you stop. So on this run and all my workouts down here, I run I'm running 12 miles a day now, 8 in the morning and 4 in the evenings. But it seems like an extravagance, but rest, stopping, has so much more meaning now. It is so much more enjoyable because of the work. Without work, rest doesn't mean anything. So God stops and it feels good. And Hebrews says that there is a stopping ahead for God's people. King James says a Sabbath rest, but it's not. It's a stopping where God ceases from his works. Israel will cease from her works, and for 1,000 years, it'll be this period of protracted rest. Doesn't mean they won't be doing anything, but it will be such a stopping that will be so profound only in proportion to the hell, to the incessant banging their corporate heads against the wall that went before it. That's Israel. It's a story, it's an account of a people banging their heads against the wall, being frustrated constantly, and mired in self-righteousness, and so on and so forth. There's a stretch. There's the route, too. There's the route. That's what the route looked like. So I went from Fort Lauderdale to Lake Worth. And again, no interest in Lake Worth. It's just getting the distance in. So there's the route. I had this stretch that I do every 40 minutes or so. It's amazing. And I've learned to like inhabit this thing. It's a 90-second routine that I have. I'll run for maybe 45 minutes or an hour, and then I'll pull off alongside the road, and I'll engage in this stretch. And what it is, I get down on my haunches like an animal. I just get down, and I let those muscles pull back there. And I'll put my hands on the ground like this, and I'll go down into this sitting thing, right? But I'm on the balls of my feet, right? And I'm just, and it feels so good. And then I will like support myself on the front, and I get into this, not a suspended thing, but I get in this equilibrium, this balance thing, and it's so restful. And I'll count the seconds. I'll count like 60 seconds. And each second is this world of repose. It's just hard to explain. And I'll try to sleep. I will close my eyes while I'm in this stretch, and I will try to sleep. And I think a couple times I've actually succeeded, just like this, just little tiny micro nanosecond power nap while I'm in this beautiful stretch. And then on my way back up, to keep from passing out, I'll put my hands on my knees and I'll come halfway up, and then I'll count 30 seconds for that. And those 30 seconds are a treasure. I treasure every second of stopping, that I'm stopped. I've decided now that I'm not going to walk anymore. I'm either going to run or I'm going to be stopped. That's it. I'm a man of extremes. No more walking for me. There's nothing against walking. I love walking. I spent years walking, but I'm just going to either run or I'm going to be stopped. So this stopping really has significance to me. And as I'm doing this, I'm thinking of all those times where I thought I was pampering myself. I thought I was doing myself a favor by being sedentary. I mean, I haven't gone too long in my life ever without working out because I like to be in shape. But there have been times where I'd maybe for 2 weeks, you think you're doing yourself a favor. Oh, I'm not going to do anything. It's going to be great. No, doing nothing is never great because rest has no context. So when I run in the morning and I run in the evening, I know the evening run's coming, and it gives the day, whenever I'm not running, whenever I am sitting on the couch, it's now a treasure time, right? But that's nothing compared to these 90-second breaks that I take. And to me, they're breaks. Somebody said, well, you haven't even rested. Oh, yes, I did. I had a world of stopping during this rest. And there's just micro things that you notice when you're engaged in a great physical activity. For instance, this is going to sound really weird, but once in a while, I'll carry my sunglasses. I'll always have my sunglasses with me, but if it's overcast, I'll carry them in my hand while I'm running. And one nice thing about carrying the glasses in my hand, it allows me to keep conscious of having a loose grip. I mean, I'm just so astounded at the human body And I'm so thankful to God for my body, for what He makes it do, and what He, and that the health that He's given me. Not everybody has it, and I realize that. I'm so appreciative of it. It can go away at any time. But in the meantime, just glorying in this ability to move and this ability to have a body that's in balance anyway. I'm not out to make anybody out there feel bad for not having health. I'm sure you're mature enough not to let that happen. In fact, I remember running past this guy, and he was in a wheelchair. And you know how you feel guilty when you're walking past a person in a wheelchair? Kind of, you just feel kind of like survivor's guilt or whatever. Well, I felt this way, especially with this guy in the wheelchair while I was running. You know, I'm this so-called picture of fitness, and I'm running this. And this guy was so cool. Because why do we think the worst of these folks? We think that they're just eaten up with angst and anger. But this guy said, enjoy it, buddy. And he didn't mean that as a have fun now, because it ain't always going to be this way. No, he really meant it. And he said, enjoy every second of your health. Enjoy every second of being able to move. He might have even said that. And he sincerely meant it. It wasn't trying to lay a guilt trip on me. The guy wanted me to know that I was a blessed man and I should enjoy it. Anybody who can walk is blessed. Anybody who can walk is blessed. So I carry my sunglasses to keep myself from a death grip. So I'm trying, my whole body is relaxed. I could talk for a long time about my form because I just love the human body and what it does. And I'm telling you think it's hard. Like, how do you run 43 miles in a day? If I told you how easy it was at the end, you would not believe me. You would not even believe me because I have my body mechanics down pat. It's all mechanics and patience, and you have to have a mental, it's all up here for that kind of thing. So anyway, I found an amazing source of pleasure. And when I'm running, I will switch hands. I have the glasses in my right hand for maybe a mile, and then I will shift the glasses over to my left hand. The feeling of that is so enjoyable. It's so small, but it's so pleasurable. And it's a little piece of rest in its own way, because now I'm giving this hand rest. And it's the transfer of the glasses is a world. And I'm realizing that God's teaching me through this greater struggle to appreciate the small, beautiful pleasures that we have every day. And I want to talk about my urethra, and I'm going to talk about my urethra. Many people might not want me to talk about my urethra. I don't care. I am going to talk about it. In fact, I'm going to do it right now. After I quote Arthur Schnabel, a world famous pianist, this guy said, I've never heard of him, but apparently he's world famous. I'm out of the loop in the piano department, but this guy was a master. He has a great quote. I've always loved this. He says, the rest between the notes, I handle no better than many pianists. But the pauses between the notes, that is where the art resides. The name of this talk is The Art of Rest. Let me quote Arthur Schnabel again. In fact, I'm so unfamiliar with this guy, his name's Artur, A-R-T-U-R. Let me quote him again here. The notes I handle no better than many pianists, but the pauses between the notes, that is where the art resides. It's those pauses in life between your periods of great work or your periods of great battle or frustration, and you have these moments of stopping. And it is an art form to be able to extract every ounce of peace and of not working from those moments. And the only way you can do that, in my opinion, is if you have the contrast. So this Schnabel dude, Arthur, his contrast is he's playing these notes. And then there's a time where you don't play the notes and you think that that's nothing. Oh, there's a pause. There's a nothing, but it's not a nothing. The rests are important. Jazz is
just that little bit.
How long you rest in between the notes, that changes something from a jazz piece to a classical piece to a rock and roll piece. It's just the rest between the notes. That is where the art resides. And some people don't know how to rest. They know how to work. They know how to fret. They know how to worry. But they don't know how to rest. And this guy understands that. It's an art form to be able to stop and not feel guilty about stopping. Some people do. They can't sit down for a second. They're always got to do. Mary and Martha, perfect example. The woman who was sitting at the Lord's feet was doing more than the woman running around like a mad lady, trying to make the sandwiches and boil the tea and make everything right for our Lord. And she gets pissed because the woman resting isn't doing anything. And Jesus points out, well, actually, the woman who is resting is actually doing more than you, because many people can make sandwiches and serve coffee, but the rest in between making sandwiches and serving coffee, that is where the art resides. So back to my urethra. I think it is amazing that God put receptors, pleasure, I will call them pleasure receptors in the urethra, because, ladies and gentlemen, if I can be honest with you and frank with you, and we can speak about these things amongst ourselves. It feels so good when you urinate, doesn't it? When you have to take a pee, and it's just, you're trying to hold it in because you have to go so bad, then you finally get to a place where you can do it. It's just like, see, that is it. It's this finding, extracting every little drop of enjoyment out of this life, whether it's pleasure, that's related, or it's stopping from a bout of great labor. It feels so good. And on a run, it's even better. Let me tell you something. It's even better. Like yesterday. Oh, man, I don't know. It could be anywhere. I was in Boca Raton running through there. It was at like maybe the 22, 23-mile mark. And, you know, a guy has an advantage here. We have an advantage over you ladies because we can pee in a lot of places you can't. Or should I say urinate? I don't know. There's three different words here I could use in ascending order of acceptability. I could say take a piss. I could say go pee. Or I could say urinate. Yes, we'd like to ask you a question about your urination habits. Oh, you want to know how I take a piss? No. You see, so what should I do? I'll just go to the middle. Nah, I actually like piss better than pee. So I'm going to take the high road and urinate. So yeah, we men have an advantage over you ladies. I'm sorry. But no, you just need a bush. If you're on a run and you're going, you just get behind a bush and do it. Get behind a bush. But anyway, so we can do it standing. Lucky us. So it's just when you have that buildup, if you're urine and you're ready to let it go, it feels so good, especially on a run, because I'm looking for a place to hide, and it's so exciting. I'm gonna I'm breaking the law. I'm breaking the law. Yeah, public urination. Okay, I am breaking the law. Maybe that's what makes it so exciting. That breaking the law in combination with that urine coming out of the urethra, it's just like, oh, this. Fantastic. Now, this doesn't apply if you have kidney stones, okay? Then you're not too happy about the receptors in your urethra. But God didn't have to put receptors in the urethra. He could have made it just not feel anything. But I think somehow he thought, well, okay, this is so embarrassing that they have to get rid of this waste. And, you know, the other waste too. I'm going to, at least I can do for these people is to make it, you know, kind of pleasurable. Like, it's like, take a load off. Take a load off? Okay. Oh, God, it feels so good to take a load off. Thank you, Lord. That is absolutely wonderful. So, and just little things like the sidewalk slant. Like, if you can believe this, there's 30 miles of sidewalk from Fort Lauderdale to, Delray. And then the rest of the next 13 miles, it was kind of like road, but there's a nice shoulder on the road, but the sidewalk has different slants, and if you run too much on one slant or another, you're going to feel this imbalance and you don't like it. And then when you go from this spell of imbalance and you find a flat piece, that shift that is made from the imbalance from the right lane to the middle ground. It just, it's this equilibrium comes upon you, and it feels glorious. It feels, because you're stopping this fight against an irregular gravitational pull. It is amazing. It is astounding. And everything tastes better. When you drink a Coke after 41 miles, it is so freaking good. Especially when it's 85 degrees. Folks, yesterday on this run, there was 10, it was 10 hours. The whole run took 13 point something hours. But not one stitch of shade. I know this is, it's like, oh, sorry about your luck, Xander. We're freezing our asses up here. I apologize how this sounds. This sounds bad, yeah. But it's 85 degrees heat index. So, yeah. These are first world problems. Now I'm feeling all guilty talking about this. I'm feeling kind of shameful about it. But hey, I'm sorry, but this was my world yesterday. This was my world Saturday. So what do you want me to talk about? I mean, this was my experience. And when I tell you what happened, they want me to put up a picture at the end. So here I am in Lake Worth. Having arrived at my destination. My destination was not Lake Worth. It was 40 miles. However, because of a miscalculation that I'm going to talk to you about tomorrow, it ended up being 43.3 miles. But yeah, there's the happy guy. I felt great. I feel great. I have no ill effects from the run whatsoever. In fact, this morning, I ran 4.25 miles around. So there's a story in that too, but I'm feeling kind of bad about talking about myself so much. Will you forgive me? Because when I tell you what happened the morning I left, just not even a mile and a half out of town at 4:45. Number one, you're going to laugh. Number two, you're going to feel sorry for me. Number three, when I focus in on what lessons to be learned from this experience I had before the sun even came up, you will be glad. You will be glad I told you about the 85 degree day at the end of February. I'm sorry. It's not my fault. It was hard to move down here. I hate to move anywhere. It's just, okay, never mind. I'm going to stop feeling guilty about it. Stop it. Okay. So, the art of rest. That was today, right? You just kind of heard about that. I want you to extract every beauteous moment of the littlest things God gives us that we tend to overlook. And sometimes the only way you can really appreciate them is to go without them for a bit of time. Go without them. Go without drink. You know how it is when you're hungry and you go to a restaurant. Feels great. When you're dying of thirst and that Coca-Cola hits your mouth and your throat, it's the most amazing thing ever. You had a terrible day and you lay down in your bed and it's just like a glorious thing. You have to take a pee. I mean, you have to urinate. And you're just holding it in. It's like, my God. And then when you can finally let it go, it's like, oh, yeah, thank you, God. You're so praising God. It really is a commentary. It's a commentary on how humiliated we've been, how humbled we are on this planet. That the best we can hope for sometimes, it's like we're thankful. We're grateful when we can take a urinate.